Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program, broadcast on the Community Radio Network. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and it's a pleasure to bring you another Listen to Older Voices program. This is part one of a two-part program featuring the story of 99-year-old Phyllis Jones. Born in Darlinghurst, New South Wales in 1913, Phyllis not only shares her stories with us, but she reminds us of times and events now moving into the distant past. And while we can revel in all that technology and progress brings us, Phyllis reminds us through her stories just what we've lost. Among her stories is how she lost her father in World War I and the sacrifices her mother had to make. She regales us with tales of the Great Depression, being schooled in Tasmania, and of the school bus with roll-up canvas blinds for windows. We listen as she grows up and meets the man who becomes her first husband. There are so many stories, so let's make a start. Here I am, talking with Phyllis. Phyllis, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. Could I ask you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born in Sydney at Darlinghurst in 1913, April 1913. My father was in the First World War, and when he went overseas, my mother, who was born in Tasmania, had sisters and brothers there when we went back to Tasmania. My first memory I can remember was getting a smack on the table because I upset a dish of water. I think I was about 3 years old. And we went back to Tasmania, and then we moved up to Mount Nelson out of Hobart. Mm. And I spent quite a few years there living with an auntie because my father was missing in the war. And in those days, you didn't get a pension for everything. Mm. So my mother was a chef and she had to work. So I lived with my auntie up Mount Nelson in those tram cars, and we went to school at a school called Princes Street, and that was the bus that took us to school. But previous to that bus, we walked 5 miles to school through the snow in the winter.
Goodness me.
And the snakes in the summer.
These days kids complain if they've got to walk down the shops.
Yes, that's true.
I should say to people who are listening, Phyllis, that the photograph on Phyllis's wall of the bus, it has open sides which look like canvas
and shutters. A loose seat down the middle.
Right.
Now the mountain went like this. All around seven bends.
Wow.
And every bend we went, that seat in the middle, the boys sat on, would topple over onto the girls on the seat. They thought that was lovely.
Of course they
did. But if we did one thing wrong, we were put off the bus and had to walk home.
Gosh.
When we got home, our parents knew that we'd been doing something wrong.
Because you're late.
So that wasn't the end of the punishment. We were put to bed without our tea. We weren't hit or smacked, but we were always put to bed without your tea.
You mentioned your mum. What sort of woman was she?
Entirely different to me. She was a very good-looking, plump, very, very social woman. She could go into a room full of complete strangers and come out bosom friends with all of them.
That's lovely.
Yes. She was a chef. She worked at the Melbourne Grammar Boys School. She worked at Government House And after I came over here to live with my children, we went to Government House to visit her. And the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester, they had two boys. And my kids used to play with the princes at Government House. And the guards on the gate used to come down to my mum's room, play cards and have a beer now and again.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about your experiences at Government House, but if we can just go back a few years first and look at you as a little girl living in Tasmania. You never had the opportunity to meet your dad then?
No.
Did your mum ever talk about him?
No, she didn't.
Did you ever learn anything about him?
No.
Was that a sad thing that you never got to do that?
Well, that seemed to be the thing in those days. People didn't
talk about it.
No.
You must have gone to school. What was school like for you as a young girl?
The school was very good. As I said, we walked for years and then we got the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were mountain children, we were called the mountain goats, which by today's standard would be bullying. But we didn't worry about that because when we got to school, we had a kerosene tin they used to cut in half and use, and we'd have a cup of cocoa.
Right.
And in the winter, we were allowed out of school half an hour earlier to walk home, and we'd have a cup of cocoa to see us on our way.
Did you like school?
Yes, very much.
Was there anything at school you enjoyed doing more than anything else?
Well, we played basketball.
Right.
And, we just had a nice, companionable time at school.
So it sounds like you had a lot of friends.
Yes, we did. And I did until this year when the last of them passed away.
So you kept...
I kept going backwards and forwards.
Wow, that's amazing.
Every year.
That must have been very rewarding to have friendships over that length of time.
Well, yes, and then at one stage, my mother was a manager of what was called in those days a ham and beef shop, but it's now called a delicatessen.
Oh, okay.
And she had this, managed this shop, and a couple of times I got caught nicking pennies out of the till.
Oh dear.
But after the second time, I didn't do it anymore.
Now, being born in 1913, you would have grown up during the Depression years.
Yes, very much.
Do you remember
much.
Those years?
Oh yes, very much so. I was married then with two children, and my husband was out of work. And the dole, as it was called, was 10 shillings a week to keep four people.
Goodness me.
And then the men had to work 3 days or 3 half-days a week to earn that 10 shillings.
Did you see a lot of unhappiness around you?
No. To be honest, no. I never heard much moaning or groaning. That was what our life was, and we knew we couldn't be any better, and so we accepted it and did the best we could.
Yes.
Living up on the mountain, we had our own chooks and cow.
Oh, okay.
And vegetable gardens.
So you were reasonably well off in that regard.
In that regard.
Yes.
And it was our life, and
yes,
we knew we couldn't do anything about it.
It's very interesting, Phyllis, because you're not the first person. In fact, many people of your generation have said exactly the same thing. It was the way life was, and we accepted it.
Yes.
And that seemed to have made it a lot easier for people.
Well, it did, because you knew you couldn't get anywhere or have anything else. And when we were married, we accepted to furnish a house, we accepted other people's left-offs, cast-offs, or whatever you call it. And as I say,
it's so different today, isn't it? Young people today expect everything given to them and everything new when they get married.
They get it.
Yes, and they get it.
Yes.
Do you think they're actually missing out on something like that?
Well, we didn't think at the time. No, whatever I have, we have struggled for. With this house, we struggled to buy it. We had to go without certain things. And you knew that was what way of life.
Does that help you value think life, though?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
I think if you have to work for something and even struggle for it, you do learn the value, don't you?
That's right. Even to get a nice dress, we would have to put a deposit of 2 shillings on it and pay 1 shilling a week until it was paid for.
Yes.
But now you can spend $1,000 without spending a money.
Yes, spending somebody else's money, yes.
Definitely.
Going back to you as a girl, what sort of things did you do for entertainment and for enjoyment?
Well, at school we learned cooking and we learned sewing and we learned the 3 R's and we learned respect.
It's almost a 4th R, isn't it?
My word, we did.
Is that important, do you think, to learn respect?
Yes.
For what reason?
Well, it's hard to put a name to a reason, really, but these days...
So you don't see much respect being shown these days?
No, definitely not. Definitely, you only have to watch politics to see that.
Well, that's the truth.
Yes.
Yes.
We were taught to say please and thank you.
Yes.
How many kids are today say please and thank you?
And it makes a difference, doesn't it, when you meet somebody that does that?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with 99-year-old Phyllis Jones. And Phyllis has been talking about her attitudes and values to life and is talking about her life as a young girl in general.
In growing up as a young girl, as you got older, did you go from primary school into a secondary school?
Or no.
You left school at what age then?
I left school at 14.
Which was actually the done thing then, wasn't it?
That's right. And my first job was in an office in a shop called the Coliseum in Chapel Street.
In
Treadways. It was Treadways, but it had the name Coliseum. It was near the Paran Town Hall. And I was in the office there for 2.5 years. My first pay was 12 and sixpence a week. I went up to 17 and sixpence. Up to 22 and sixpence.
Goodness.
Then the depression started. Mm. And the ones who had started late were the first to be put off.
Yes.
Yes.
So were you able to keep your job for very long?
Yeah, until I was about 17 and a half.
That was pretty good.
Yes.
Then. Yes. Mm. And what happened at 17 and a half?
Well, then when I was put off, I went back to Tasmania to live with an auntie. And... I didn't work for quite a while, and then I had a job as a waitress in a hotel in Hobart for a while.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did, actually.
Because I was just wondering, when you talk about Mum, you said that Mum was so different to you and she was so easy to get on with and make friends. Did you inherit that bit from her? Did you find it easy to do that?
Yes. Probably. When I lived with one auntie and my uncle, he owned quite a big property up the mountain, and he built a tennis court on the place, and I started off gathering some of the teenagers, and we ended up with about 24 of us, a whole gang of us. Then we decided to do things to raise money to build a hall so we could go dancing, right. Which we did. Older ones also had card evenings. And we had the tennis. We did walking. We used to walk up to Mount Wellington.
That's a walk.
Yeah, it's a walk.
Oh, that's a walk.
Down to Browns River, which is now called Kingston, and walk down to Hobart, dance all night, walk back up the mountain, play tennis all the next day.
You are very fit.
And then I wonder why I'm worn out.
Yes, what a lovely way to wear yourself out. That sounds like an incredibly healthy lifestyle.
Yes,
yes,
could be.
Dancing, you mentioned dancing. That was really important in those days, wasn't it?
We really had a lovely teenage, actually. Because we didn't have most of us didn't have work.
No.
But we just made the most of what we had. And we really enjoyed our teenagers.
And life was a lot safer then, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. And the word stress, we wouldn't have known what that meant.
Yes.
Wouldn't have known that.
Some people would look back in those years, that, you know, the 20s, 30s and 40s, and say, gee, I'm glad I wasn't born then. That was a dreadful period. Sounds like for you it wasn't all that dreadful.
It was a better period than it is now.
Right.
I mean, I'm sitting here now. I get a pension. I'm better off financially than I have ever been in my life. But because of physical difficulties with walking and that, I can't always use all my pension up. So, as I say, I'm better off financially, but I'm worse off other ways.
Mm.
Fortunately, I can still do fancy work and read and crossword puzzles and what have you.
Well, we'll catch up to life as it is today shortly, but going back again to those days as a teenager growing up, the dancing, what were your favourite dances?
Well, we were a group of people and we each had a separate boyfriend for a separate dance. I had one boyfriend for the waltz and for the blues, a dance called the blues, the foxtrot. I still have a trophy that we won for dancing, and we would just have each dance a certain boy would dance with, but they were just dance partners.
Yes. When did you have your first boyfriend? How old were you roughly?
Well, when I was about 16, I fell in love with a boy. He was 19, and one of my aunties did not approve of him, and she broke it up.
Oh, that's sad.
And I've been married twice. My first husband's died, but deep down, I still love my first boy.
Mm. Mm.
He's gone now.
Do you recall his name?
Yes, his name was Nelson.
Nelson.
Mm.
It's nice, though, to have something like that in your heart, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it connects you back to that period.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
When did you meet your first husband and how did you meet him?
You come back a long time now.
Oh, I am, aren't I?
Yes. I think he was... Do you know Tasmania at all, Hobart?
I do, yes.
Do you know a place called South Arm?
I do know South Arm, yes.
Well, I was going with a boy from the mountain, from up the mountain, and he had these friends who lived down South Arm, and we were asked down for the weekend, and when I saw this sun from the weekend, from down there, I fell from here for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going together for about 12, 15 months before we were married. 12 months before, I came over here to work to get some money for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked as a waitress at the hotel down, not Port Melbourne, one of those hotels down on that shoreline.
Down on the shoreline,
yes. For 12 months, and I made $100. I got 30 shillings wage and about 30 shillings in tip.
Oh, goodness, okay.
Yeah, that was a lot of money.
That was a lot of money, that's right.
Yeah. And I stayed for 12 months and then went back. And was married.
What was his name?
His name was Fred.
Fred?
Yeah.
And what was his line of work? What did he do?
Orchard. They lived on an orchard.
Was it a family orchard?
No, his parents worked. It was owned by a man called Jellybrand, who was a descendant of the Jellybrands who had something to do with Tasmania, some big
right
name. Whether it was something in the discovery of Tasmania, I'm not quite sure about that. And these people, Jellybrands, owned the place. But Fred's father and Fred, they worked an apple orchard.
Right.
And all the fruit, or most of the fruit, apples and pears, were sent overseas. And of course, when the war broke out, that was stopped.
Mm.
Because they needed the transport for
other things,
the
yes.
Men.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So Fred must have been accepted by your family. I mean, you mentioned the boy that was left behind, the auntie didn't like him, but Fred was accepted?
But there was only my mother, and at that stage she was living in Adelaide, so she did come across for the wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you remember that wedding?
Yeah, I had it at home at an auntie where I lived at the time. There were about 30 of my friends gathered together. And then you went to the studio to get photos taken. Stiff, you know.
Was your dress made by somebody in the family? Or did
well,
you
know I was lucky. I had a friend who was a dressmaker. She made my dress. I had another friend who was a baker. Her father was a baker and he made my cake. And then my aunties did the food part.
Right.
Yes. So well, it didn't cost me very much.
No, because it can be expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Were you lucky enough to go on a honeymoon or did you have to go straight back to
Europe? No, we didn't really, because it was on a Saturday and we just went back down to South Arm. I was married up in Sandy Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fred had to work.
Mm, yes.
Because it was February and that was the time when all the fruit went overseas.
Yes.
So
yes,
I helped in the, not picking the fruit, but when it goes through the thing and you get the size of the
sorting
apples
it. Yes.
To send away.
Yes.
In the shed, in the apple shed.
Can you recall your first home together, your house?
Well, we lived with his people for quite a while,
right.
Yes.
Was that difficult or was that easy?
No, it wasn't, because they had a big old farmhouse that was originally a school, and it was divided and there were three separate rooms that we had. We had the great big open fire about as big as this room.
Goodness me.
But you put on a log and then as it burned you pushed it on to the fire.
Mind you, you'd need it because it's very cold down there, doesn't it?
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
Yes. Yeah. But up the mountain we had snow.
You wouldn't have had much in the way of what we call modern conveniences,
oh,
then, would you?
No.
What did you cook on?
Cooked in the open fire.
Course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. And some of them had an oven underneath.
Cast iron.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then a little bit under that again, if you wanted to use the oven, you lit that fire underneath.
Right.
Yeah.
What about water? Running water?
Tank water.
Tank water?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And all the washing, I guess, was done by hand.
Oh, by copper.
By copper.
Copper and by hand. And kerosene lamp.
Right.
And candles.
Yes.
That was it.
Yes.
That was life.
That was
and
life.
And you didn't expect anything different.
No.
I mean, we didn't intermingle with moneyed people, so we didn't know what the rich people had or didn't have.
No.
We only knew what we had.
And you don't miss what you don't have,
no.
Do you?
We knew we couldn't get it.
Yes.
Have it, so we didn't bother.
Do you remember the first time you got electricity in your life?
No, I don't. I can remember when we had the gas lights on the wall.
You had gas lights?
Yeah, had gas lights.
Goodness me.
Yeah, on the wall. I can't remember when the first electricity came in.
Yes. Were the gas lights very dirty things?
Well, you had a gas mantle, and now and again when the blew up or they had to get a new one and light it. No, I wouldn't say they were dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But they were on the wall. For a room like this, you'd have one on the wall and you light it when you wanted it.
And did it give good light?
Yes, it did.
Right.
More of a not such a harsh light as the electricity gives.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you recall getting your first radio?
Well, when I came over here and my husband went to the war, I lived in Balaclava, near the Balaclava station. And I dimly remember my mother worked at Wesley College at that stage as a chef. And I dimly remember her bringing this little wireless thing out. And it had whiskers or something.
The cat's whiskers.
Cat's whiskers.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yes. And I can remember seeing her fiddle with this thing, trying to fit it in or something.
Because for people listening, especially young people, if I remember rightly, that the cat's whisker, they called it, because it looked like cat's whisker, you had to rub it across a crystal or something to tune it in, didn't you?
Yeah.
Actually tune the radio.
Yes.
That's very early.
Dimly remember that.
Goodness me.
Tune in next week for more of Phyllis's story of marrying twice, of opening a childcare service in a home, of travel within and outside Australia, and the wonderful reflections on her life. That's next week. Listen to Older Voices with Phyllis Jones. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. It's funded by the Department of Home and Community Care and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.